Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates, and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about, interviewing, or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org.
This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated, insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live from the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show is on the air. Great to have you along today. We've been talking to our TV audience, and big hello to our radio audience on American Forces Radio Network, Biz Talk Radio Network, and iHeartRadio. Good to have you. I was just talking about the Fed and the economy. I don't see how you can put the hopes of our economy on a Fed rate cut when we are already at maximum unemployment, lowest unemployment rate in 50 years.
Right.
You've got every retailer, Target, Lowe's, Dick's Sporting Goods, Nordstrom, every category that is showing unbelievable earnings, which means consumer spending. 70% of any economy is based on consumer spending, so our spending's great.
So the
and plus interest rates are dirt low, or 2 to 2.25%. What is left to do? Where are the fears of the recession? So I don't understand.
I don't understand either. Me, go figure.
Yeah, well, I know. It's. I think. I believe it's a narrative. Personally, I don't. I don't believe it's.
Are you
real
saying he maybe should raise rates?
No, I just think just shut up and leave it alone.
Wow.
I don't dip it at all. I don't understand the narrative of the recession fears. There's no recession fear.
It was that 2 year bigger return, 10 years.
Well, we had an inverse bond curve.
Yeah.
Last, which is a flash. It's a technical analysis signal.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way. But in fact, guys, show me a chart of the Dow. Let me show you what this
It's means. A signal, Bob. The end is near.
Here's the Dow Jones, by the way.
What is it? Oh, yeah.
We have a chart
today?
So look at the, you see the thick squiggly line up on top? That's where the Dow's trading at today.
Okay, right in
see
the middle.
See the flat blue line and the flat red line?
Okay.
That blue line is a 10-day moving average. That red line is a 50-day moving average. That's what's called a moving average. And that indicator is called a moving average convergence divergence.
It's hell-la-la-la-ling.
So we are in between the two moving averages, meaning that we are range-bound right now. Okay? We're in the Thunder Tunnel, Russ.
I love the Thunder Tunnel.
We're fairly valued. Look at the bottom here. The very bottom of the screen shows you the
stochastic oscillator.
Which means we are fairly valued right here because we saw this same price back in May, back in December, back in November, back in October. You can draw a freaking line. We went sideways all the way back.
Okay,
So when you know, bottom line here is that you have a stock market that is fairly valued, along with interest rates that are brutally low, maximum unemployment or maximum employment, and people spending money. You know what that means?
Uh-huh.
Yahtzee.
It's Trump, you idiot.
No, it's,
I just love to watch the regular networks and watch them twist and turn thing.
Which is why we are going to turn our pages to another investment vertical.
Groovy.
Called CBD.
Amen, brother.
Alex Wassel is the CEO of a company called Nexian Biopharma. You can go to their website, NexienBioPharma.com. They are publicly traded under the stock symbol NXEN. That's N as in Nancy, X as in X-ray, E as in Echo, N as in Nancy, NXEN. And it is, they are in the world of cannabinoid pharmaceutical, and it's an interesting play because we've talked to cannabis companies before. We've talked to testing companies before, but we haven't talked to many in this space. Alex, thanks for swinging by today because we had one of our listeners or one of our TV viewers contacted us and one of our producers reached out and got Alex on the air. Alex, great to have you, man.
Hey, great to be back. Thank you.
So here's the deal. So last time you were on, we talked about the difference between you guys and the other companies. Give us, we picked up a couple other affiliates and such. Talk to, give us a 50,000 foot overview. Again, of what's happening with what you guys are doing.
So there's a lot of hype about cannabis, obviously, and there's a lot of information available online in blogs, in the news, and so on and so forth. But there's really a strict regulatory paradigm. You're either selling a supplement, food, beverage, or nutraceutical, or you're selling a pharmaceutical, or you're selling a commodity, i.e. the biomass or feedstock that is the cannabis plant or its extracts. In our case, we're just developing pharmaceuticals like any other pharmaceutical company. However, the active pharmaceutical ingredients happen to be cannabinoids, bioidentical cannabinoids to those found in the marijuana or cannabis plant. The cannabis and hemp plants are the same thing. It's all cannabis sativa. They're just bred differently to produce different arrays of cannabinoids. So,
So at the end of the day, if you think in terms of what's going on in this, in you know, well, you as we're looking at the website here, your drug development activities, you guys are really at the cutting edge here of doing something that not a lot of other companies are doing. Get granular with what you guys are doing there at Nexien.
Yeah, obviously, a lot of companies are going for sort of what we consider the low-hanging fruit, which is early path to profit. The pharmaceutical development pathway is a little bit protracted, 5 to 7 years on average to commercialization, sale, license, or partnership with a major pharmaceutical company. So we're effectively at this stage a research and development company currently undergoing preclinical research, and subsequently to that, we'll be doing clinical research, hopefully in humans. We're waiting to hear back from the FDA right now on one of our two flagship programs. That being myotonic dystrophy, excuse me. And the other program we're focused on is epilepsy. I believe I talked a little bit about that in our last interview.
So here's my question is this, is that you guys are going for a biopharma pathway, which would indicate the FDA, correct?
Well, exactly.
If that's the case, then are we worried that CBD is going to be taken off the market and it'll be only prescription only at some point? Is that the downside of potentially that?
That's a great point because that's what everybody's talking about right now. After the Farm Bill passed, they took hemp and its constituents, including CBD, off of the controlled substance list. So that caused a market frenzy where everyone was selling CBD. The FDA then clarified that, well, because we approved GW Pharmaceuticals Epidiolex, which is 98% pure CBD isolate, effectively, now you can't really sell CBD as a food, drug, cosmetic, nutraceutical, botanical extract, or so on and so forth because it's an active pharmaceutical ingredient. So the FDA is clear. They want data to substantiate all the claims being made about CBD through what's called an IND pathway, which is an investigational new drug where you produce preclinical or clinical data such as we are and show them, show the FDA, excuse me, what the outcomes are. And then you can substantiate your claims. The FDA will approve you for potentially commercializing that drug. What they don't want is CBD out in the open market that's making claims. Whether they're going to allow CBD in the open market is yet to be seen. They've stated clearly that they may be considering provisions to allow for hemp-derived CBD to be sold in the open market. But right now, despite its wide availability, the FDA's black and white statement is that no, it's not allowed in food, beverage, nutraceutical, or supplements.
Now, I've heard people that pick up like over at so-and-so and it says CBD on it, does this and that, and then they find out there's really not even CBD in there. They're just kind of making the claim.
Well, that's the thing is that you know, is there a best practices that's going forward these days? You know, we talked about this yesterday on the air. If you buy some aspirin, you know there's a certain amount of grains of aspirin in the aspirin pill.
Yeah.
If you buy, you know, even if you buy a bottle of scotch, you know what the proof is.
Thank God.
With respect to CBD, though, how do you know you're not getting Wesson oil and a little bit of skunk oil or something? I mean, is there a best practices out there yet? Is there an infrastructure?
Not really. I mean, certain states are trying to, you know, enforce an infrastructure for quality control testing, but that's within their own state nexus.
Yeah.
The hemp CBD market is sort of a interstate market. It's not really regulated. Companies are trying to get involved in providing quality control and quality assurance for that market, but the FDA is saying, no, we don't really want these products being sold direct to consumers, especially not if they're making claims, and especially not in a consumable form. In the pharmaceutical world, of course, there's very rigorous quality control and quality assurance protocols that you have to adhere to. So to your point, when you sell something that's been through those protocols and been through those rigorous standards, you know what you're getting. It would be sad to see people who are taking CBD off of the gas station shelf or even from a nice boutique, botanical store or CBD store like we've seen pop up and around and not actually be getting the active compound, nonetheless not know if it actually really does what it says it's going
to
do.
Hey, Alex, stay right there. I'm going to keep you over for a second. I have a couple other questions because I think what this brings it down to is what's the future look like in 5 years of cannabis? Obviously, it's here. It's not going anywhere. And we're talking, of course, about the medicinal cannabis part of it here because I think they got the recreational thing down pat, Russ.
Yeah.
I think they got that.
Been working on that since Woodstock.
And we got a story about weed maps coming up here after the break.
That's a good one, too.
Something new. Did you hear about that?
I'm all over it, baby.
I'll tell you.
Like a hobo on a hot dog.
You have no idea.
Totally.
All right.
Totally dialed in.
Big Biz Show. Big Biz Show. What is it?
Consumer spending.
What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year? Whoa. Oh.
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Thanks to our sponsors, Prudential and Starbucks and Bayer Advanced. Nationwide, coast to coast, 110 million TV homes strong, 150 radio stations. Coming up in just a second. William Schroeder, the president and CEO of Travel Host Magazine, helping people become entrepreneurs and break free from corporate constraints is his message.
Yeah, baby.
Would you consider yourself entrepreneurial?
God, yes. I was the first video host of a website for Time Warner San Diego.
I remember.
Wow.
Did you pay for that?
Because
you paid for that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. You
embezzled what?
No.
Did you
I won an Emmy Award with Time Warner Cable
Did you go through and say, "Hey, I got an idea." Did you pitch it to them and they bought it or did they come?
Well, just they needed content for their new fast web,
which was super slow.
Yeah, it was dial up, but still, so I said, "Let's do food. People like cooking, everybody eats." So I went to restaurants and had chefs prepare stuff and then edited that, uploaded. It took like days to do this stuff. Digitize it, upload it, get to the there's no cloud.
Yeah.
Blue sky.
Yeah, cuz they would leave it on servers.
Yeah.
You have to have a giant computer.
Right.
Who would hold it on? Interesting.
So anyway,
hey, Alex Wassel's back with us, CEO of Nexium Biopharma. He was on this a few weeks ago, and again, one of our viewers made us aware of him, and one of our producers got him on the air, and we wanted to bring him back to talk about this. Before I let you out of here today, Alex, and first of all, thanks so much for being so generous with your time. And by the way, NexiumBiopharma.com is the website, and NXEN is their stock symbol. They are publicly traded, and we'll put that information up at BigBizShow.com also. So, in your opinion, in the next 5 years, where are we federally legal? Question one. Number two, is CBD a class A drug at that point? Is it prescription only? And where's the recreational market in your professional opinion?
Big questions.
Yes.
Great questions. Questions we deal with every day. So I think it's going to follow similar trends to other nutraceutical and botanical markets that the FDA has responded to similarly in the past. So, for instance, you mentioned aspirin earlier. The chemical that's found in aspirin is similar to a chemical found in the white willow bark, which is from a tree. If you purify that to about 98-99%, you're going to get something similar to aspirin. It's a slight analog of that chemical, aspirin is. You find aspirin as an over-the-counter drug, for example. But when you buy white willow bark extract, it's usually limited in its standardization of that chemical to X percent. So what I suspect the FDA is going to do is say, okay, people want this over-the-counter. We need quality control programs, meaning we need to regulate it and create provisions so that we can regulate it. And we're only going to allow maybe 10 or 20% of the hemp extract to be containing of CBD. Anything more pure than that is really going to have pharmacological impacts on the body and should be a prescription drug, you know, where you prescribe.
Oh, I see.
And Alex, do you agree with that? Is that the right path?
From a quality control standpoint, I think that's the way that we need to go. Unfortunately, the dietary supplement market is very loosely regulated. So for people looking for a CBD, not for a recreational effect, but for a medical or therapeutic effect, I think that the quality control standards that come with a pharmaceutical drug are certainly superior to what you can get out of a supplement store.
What about the federal question? You think, because right now, and I've talked about this, I say it almost every single week, the way way the existing system works is that the federal government, by not making, by states having legal marijuana and CBD, has created a legal money laundering system, basically, because you can't put your money in the bank at Wells Fargo, Bank of America, so on and so forth. Do you think that's going to change? Think the feds are they going to step up? In your opinion, in the next 5 years?
No, I think we're overwhelmingly aware that most states support the legalization of adult use cannabis, which usually starts as medical cannabis and then becomes adult use cannabis. And I think that market will look a lot more like alcohol and tobacco in the near future, i.e. 5 years. What I have seen, what is true, is a state like California, which is one of the biggest adopters of adult use cannabis in the recent, past couple of years, is they don't allow hemp CBD to be sold in dispensaries. So they're basically saying, okay, we have this nexus around marijuana and marijuana extracts and products, which we're separating from this hemp CBD market, which is now spread federally. So I think the FDA is going to clean that up, like I had previously discussed. And I think that eventually the federal government's going to put in place interstate commerce regulations around adult use cannabis with certain limitations. Certain states have already enforced those limitations, i.e. 10 milligrams of THC per serving, 100 milligrams per bottle. I'm talking about California here.
Yeah.
Or container per package. And I think that the federal government will get more involved in regulating that, and they'll do so in a way that they have with alcohol and tobacco.
Alex Wassel for president.
That's great.
The smartest guy I've ever heard.
That was great.
No, I mean, listen, we've got a lot of cannabis guys. He's the smartest guy I've ever heard of. Alex, will you come back with us? Really, really love having you on the air.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, pal. Thanks so much. Alex Wassel, CEO, Nexian Biopharma. They are publicly traded under the stock symbol NXEN and Nexian Biopharma.
It's still a consumer beware kind of world there, because there's pop-up medi shops, that sell
cannabis.
The
funny part is that, it's so anecdotal, the way people, this stuff works great. This other, it's just like any other, if you go to GNC and you buy, like I gave my daughter a sleep supplement, which is just, it's called sleep
fuzzy
something.
Fuzzy tail.
And what it basically does is you're supposed to, it's like melatonin or something like
right.
that. It's not regulated. You're basically, I'm sure it's, regulated for purity, but it's a crapshoot.
Right.
I sort of feel like that's the CBD thing. And I like his idea of, if they come out and say, okay, here's the standard, this is what you can have, suddenly that legitimizes it also.
You want the potent stuff? Get a prescription.
That's exactly right. And I think the other piece of this, too, that you have to sort of think about is the fact that you've got, you'll have doctors prescribing certain tinctures.
God bless them.
Exactly.
It's about time.
Whereas, and they have that. So anyway. Hey, Will Schroeder's with us. Will Schroeder is the president and CEO of Travel Host Magazine, and his charge in life is to help people to become entrepreneurs and break free from the corporate constraints. Yeah. Will, thanks for swinging by today. How are you, sir?
Well, thank you very much. I'm really glad to be here.
Hey, what is Travel Host, by the way? I mean, I think we've all heard of it, but I don't think we really know what it is. Talk to us about what it is.
The company's been in business for 53 years, and the best way to describe it is if you've ever stayed at a hotel and there's a magazine or a guide or a website that shows you where to go and what to do while you're visiting, makes your stay happier, gives you an authentic local travel experience, that's Travel Host.
Beautiful videos
Didn't we do at some point in our television career, didn't we shoot some stuff for some hotels that they were going to play, like, hey, Russ and Sally here, welcome to Seattle.
Something like that. It was for an in-room.
I'm just wondering if it was Travel Host and they fired us. Will, did you ever fire us?
I don't think you could have.
You could have. Hey, talk about what your business model is, because I think it's really interesting. I think you're doing something that nobody else has ever done.
You know, it's actually really unique in the industry. What we do is we give local people who want to be entrepreneurs an opportunity to own their own business, control their own schedules, set their own rates, make their own money. I mean, literally have freedom of owning your own business. What we do at headquarters here, and I'm in Dallas, Texas right now, is we provide all of the operational support. We make it very easy for someone to become an entrepreneur, hence they're more successful quicker.
So access, okay, and I'm gonna keep you over here because this is interesting, because if you're thinking about starting a business.
Yes, I am.
This is a business with their help that you can start and start making money immediately, which is really interesting. Because
I have an idea I want to bounce off of.
All right.
Blog. What is it called?
Blog? Vlog?
No, the other one we just talked. Podcast.
Podcast. Podcasting is for broadcasters who couldn't make it, in my opinion.
Well, that's me. But I want to do a podcast on VRBO and the stories of weird people who rent weird places.
Travel host is your guy.
You know what I'm saying?
William, stay right there for you, would you? William Schroeder, president and CEO of Travel Host Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Travelhost.com. You've heard of him. We're unveiling the magic behind Travel Host and how you can get a business going. Come on. Big Biz Show. BigBizShow.com. Nationwide, coast to coast, TV, radio. It's Russ and Sully.
What do you think the team is going to look like this year?
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
$110 million broadcast TV home strong. 150 radio stations in this country. Plus, we're on Armed Forces Radio Network in 175 countries and all the ships at sea. The Big Biz Show is on the air. The Emmy Award-winning Rusty Nail.
Thank you, everybody. Maybe I'll see you tonight down here at Humphreys by the Bay Concerts. I'm opening for Mr. Kenny G. Kenneth Bruce Gorlick will be performing on his wind instrument.
Now, do you get to talk to Kenny G tonight when you're over there?
I hope so, because I want to clear some jokes with him. before I get
sued. You want to run some right now?
One of them is, I love Kenny G music. I'm reminded every time I walk into an elevator. Come on, it's Kenny G. Anyway, I'd like to try some smooth comedy on you, because we're teaming up. I opened when he was just lowercase. Now he's uppercase G. There we go. Bigger font.
So those are the three.
And he holds a record for holding a note for the longest period of time on a wind instrument. I don't know how long it was. I think the note was probably a G, and I could not hold a G that long. Maybe 2 hours, and then I have to split it with the sound man. Hello, everybody. Da-da-dee-doo-dee-doo.
Oh, man.
So I just want to.
Hey, William Schroeder's with us. William Schroeder
is
the
president.
Oh, he's still
here?
Yes.
I'm embarrassed
supposed
now.
Supposed to be nice.
Yeah.
President and CEO of Travel Host Magazine. So, William, let's delve into this thing here. Let's talk about exactly what people can do, because you piqued my interest, and I think you piqued a lot of viewers and listeners' interest when you said you're there to support folks that want to sort of take action to their entrepreneurial desires, and you're there to make it happen. Talk about that.
Well, what Travel Host does is we give men and women an opportunity to control their own schedules, make the type of money that they want, be a part of their family's life, not just spectators. In a corporate setting, you have to be there at 8. You have to be there till 5. You can't go to soccer games or your kids' dance practices or football games. With Travel Host, we give people the opportunity to own their own business, a legit owned business that can make some significant money. And what they are is a part of the community, an influential part of the community. Travel happens to be one of the largest, strongest, most recession-proof industries that we have. So it's a long-term play for folks. What we do is we do all the stuff that doesn't make you money. We allow people to get out in the community, interact with the business community, be a part of the local community, be a part of travel industry, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And what we do is we support them the whole way, training, support, websites, printing, magazines. We basically give them a full media operation that is we've been told there's nobody doing it better than us. So
basically what you're doing is you're actually allowing people to get involved with Travel Host Publishing is what you're doing on a regional basis, correct?
Yeah, it's actually on a local community basis. For instance, we have a publisher in San Diego. I know you guys are going to be there. I'm actually going to be in San Diego at the end of September for a little get together on North Island.
Well, you have to come in studio. Come on in studio.
I should do that. What do you think?
Yeah, perfect.
That's good.
What this is you are in your local hometown. You're in your community, and you're going to be part of it. You're going to interact. You will be an important person because travel, tourism is a very important industry. When you travel, people tend to spend about 30% more. They just do. So if you're a local retailer or a local business person, that traveler, be it a leisure traveler or a business traveler, is interesting. They spend more.
Yeah.
And what we do is we take that business and take their marketing message and put it in front of those travelers, magazines in a hotel room, online, mobile first, and then, of course, socially. So what we do is we help connect travelers that are looking for an authentic experience with businesses that can help provide that for them.
You know, what's interesting is, and I'll give you a little trivia for your next cocktail party, Rusty.
Oh, good.
The biggest industry in the world.
Fast food.
You say, what's the biggest industry in the world? People say, technology.
Yeah.
Oil and gas. No.
Yeah. Hamburgers.
Tourism.
Yeah.
Tourism is the number one industry in the world. In fact, here in San Diego, and I know you're probably watching us in New York City, you're driving down the street somewhere in Arkansas, but listening to us, but our number one market driver behind the military here in San Diego is tourism.
It's got to be a big push, too, now with the VRBOs and stuff like
that.
So
you want to pitch William real quick on what your idea is?
Oh, yeah, because I work with a lady who's has several properties.
And by VRBO, work with a lady, he means...
I live with her.
Lives with a lady.
But what's happening is I'm just hearing these great stories. It's just random funny complaints. There's bugs. It's a fly. There's no rice cooker. There's just, you know...
Wait, somebody complained there's no rice cooker?
Yes. Anyway,
I would kill myself. So I thought, could not do that. I could not do that.
I can't believe the storage. Or people are expecting
Mr. Nails, I don't see a rice cooker here.
That's right. Please bring over tea towels right now.
Wow.
Those Canadians. Anyway, I think there's room for some sort of a comedic look at that rental world, the VRBOs.
William, I want you to think about that because we're going to have him on the air again next week. William Schroeder, President and CEO of Travel Host Magazine. Appreciate it, man. Good stuff.
Huh?
Love it. Travelhost.com.
He'll be in studio live end of September, I hear.
Yeah. Right. He will. We're going to bring him in.
Sure.
Good stuff.
We're here.
That's a great deal. You want to own your own publishing company?
I'm
a publisher.
You were.
I own a magazine. Oh, I did own a newspaper.
You did.
But, I mean, that was always good to say. I own a magazine. I own a newspaper.
I was in the magazine.
I own a news. You own a magazine? No.
Just the side of my ear.
Don't do that.
Oh, no.
We're going to talk to James Hurst in just 1 second. Before we do, talk about your gig tonight. If you're in around Southern California, you're watching us on TV in the L.A. or San Diego area or listening to us on the radio, what do you got?
Well, Humphreys by the Bay concerts. Oh, great spot to do it, right by the bay. Hello, that's why it's called there. Anyway, Shelter Island. Head on down. I'm going to open for Kenny G. Kenneth Bruce Gorlick will be...
That's his name?
Yeah, I looked him up.
How
I Googled him.
Is he
is 63.
Does he have some long hair still?
If I had hair like him, I'd get a pointy hat and a cape and be a wizard. Ho, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Does he still look like that?
There he is, special guest. He does. I don't know if he still looks. I'll know tomorrow. Hopefully, I talk to him backstage.
Actually, it's tonight.
I'll know tomorrow, though.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
oh,
I see. I see what I do.
Will he let you backstage? I wonder.
I don't. Sometimes they don't even want to meet me.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
comic wants to meet you. Get the hell out of here! All right, sorry.
So you're out there. You know, you're going through the buffet line in the back. Backstage and stuff.
Yeah,
and
fresh fish
out
there.
Get a little snack.
I love it there. Anyway, it's Humphreys. Plenty of things to do. You know, nearby there at the bar. You played there.
Yeah.
But come on down. 7:30. I'll do my set, and he goes on about 8.
All right.
That's all I got. 20 minutes. That's all I need.
Now, do you stay? I shouldn't probably ask you this until tomorrow. Do you stay for the whole concert?
Oh, the whole thing.
You liar. You're in a car.
You know,
you're in a car the second you're off stage.
I listened to the last guy not a while back, but I opened for this guy, and I stuck around for maybe 2 or 3 songs. And I thought, I'll just catch him next time because they like the act. Roy Orbison died the next day.
Wow.
Next day.
Oh, So this is the kiss of death for Kenny G. So tomorrow,
don't tell Kenny G I'm opening for him or tell him, stay away from mom's cooking.
James Hurston's with us. James Hurston, of course, Newsmax, JamesHurston.com, Tales from Left Coast, Hollywood Nation. Mm-hmm. James, oh my goodness. Can we talk, before we get to the Katy Perry He Too movement issue?
He Too?
Can we talk a little bit about the fact that there's 187 Democratic presidential hopefuls now?
Wow.
I mean, honestly, it's getting ridiculous. And
No. We cut it down. Jay Inslee dropped out. So isn't there like 186?
Two words were uttered when Jay Inslee cut out. Do you know the dudes heard around the world? Who's that?
Yeah. At least Hickenlooper has a name get sick about.
Right.
Yeah.
But people said, who?
Who?
Who's that?
Was in?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Anyway.
So if you were to be a betting man right now, Donald Trump obviously is going to go unopposed, at least for now. Who do you think? I mean, is it Sleepy Joe Biden who they're not letting talk past 10:30 in the morning? Is it Kamala Harris who seems to be a potential front runner? Is it Elizabeth Warren who is just getting more pathetic every time she opens her mouth?
She's terrible.
Who do you think it's going to be on that side?
It might be Kenny G. Well, I mean, it's going to be there's a good chance that they're going to have one of these broker conventions and have somebody step in, you know. We still have time, by the way, to save the Democrat Party, because this bunch is really, really a shoddy bunch. None of them can beat President Trump. And so, you know, there's been a lot of whispering about maybe Michelle Obama jumping in. She said she denies it, but in politics, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Yeah, especially Obama.
I know that Joe Biden in the polls, you know, has this commanding lead. It's all over. I mean, according to the national polls. But if you look at the early primaries like Iowa and New Hampshire, Joe's lead is pretty close. And the person that's been having the momentum, the surge right now, not Spartacus, not Beto, and Bernie's been dropping back, so it's Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, I mean, Pocahontas is moving ahead. She's got it. She's ready. And so, I don't know. I mean, if it's a real hard call, but based on everybody that's running now, if I'm in terms of Vegas odds-making bet, I would have to bet on Elizabeth Warren.
Wow. James, stay right there. We're going to keep you over.
Elizabeth Warren. If her face ever showed up on a coin, I would always call tails.
James Herson's back with us. Oh. Stay there, James. We're going to take a quick one and come back and talk to you about this. Do you think President, you know, I'm going to ask him if he thinks President Trump will go unopposed.
No, I don't think he will.
You think somebody's going to run against him?
I think some idiot announced recently.
Who's that?
Stay tuned.
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Hey, Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Good to have you along today. Nationwide, coast to coast, Rusty Nails opening for Kenny G tonight. It's Humphreys by the Bay.
Smooth comedy.
Are they expecting a big crowd?
Yeah, I think it's sold out.
All right, that's good.
It's the worst place to do comedy, though.
Is it really?
Outdoors.
Because people are milling and drinking. And
especially during me, and there's no roof. You know, that it's good to have a nice, close, packed crowd for comedy.
Well, just bring the guitar.
Oh, I think he wants comedy, not music.
Oh, he does. Kenny does?
He allowed me. Give me the courtesy. I'll be playing Dock of the Bay, I think, at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Because people sit by the Dock of the Bay and they watch the show for free. So I've done a little parody on it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I think it'll kill. Better. Or I'll never work there again.
Did you ever say, oh, you'll never work here again?
Oh, God, yeah.
Have you had that?
Yeah.
I've had that
said. Especially as an auctioneer, because I'm a little funny and entertaining, and they want, you know, that big fat guy with the beard just going, 45, now give me 50, now give me 55.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go get him.
Very good. James Herson's with us. James Herson, of course, jamesherson.com, contributing editor of Newsmax. He's an attorney. He's a law professor. He's a media analyst. He's also a hell of a musician. Have you ever been to Humphreys by the Bay, James? I don't think I've ever asked you that before.
I have not.
Oh, we got
to
get down here.
I have to say something. You know, Kenny G can play. That guy is a great musician. If you go to YouTube and look him up, you see some things where he's playing with Stevie Wonder. He's playing with different people. I mean, he's just a real disciplined professional entertainer.
Yeah.
So he knows where his bread is buttered. But he can really play that soprano sax. I bet he puts on an incredible show. I've never seen him live.
I think the two of us will do our best performances ever.
So there's no mosh pit at a Kenny G concert, though, right?
No, there's no mosh pit. There's oxygen tanks.
There's more of like a Chardonnay.
You're going to win a Wurlitzer Award.
That's it.
Speaking of which, I have to tell you guys this. I was walking through the airport I had a speaking thing up in Portland.
Yeah.
And I'm walking through the airport, and do you remember the days, the original mall, indoor mall, and they had the Wurlitzer organ retail shop, and there was always a guy out front
playing. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Nordstrom's fired him.
You know, they had the little fake drum machine.
Right, right.
Some lady was out there in the middle of the airport with her Wurlitzer. And she had a crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, it might have been Third Street Promenade in the middle of Santa Monica. I mean, she had a huge crowd around her. And she's playing like Engelbert Humperdinck and Quando. I'm not kidding. I mean, it was awesome. I'm thinking to myself, you could bring that back, Nails. If you just got yourself a Wurlitzer.
Yeah.
And she's got the foot pedal thing going. Yeah. She's playing bass with her right foot.
What you're describing, you could use that to interrogate terrorists.
Just have her sit outside the Taliban camp.
Turn on the fake drum. We'll be back in a week.
Right. Exactly. Oh, my God. Hey, so, James, do you think that, I didn't see this in the news because my nose has been in business so much lately. does Donald Trump have somebody who's challenging him? Did I hear that right?
Yeah. Well, you know, John Kasich is out of work and he's been visiting New Hampshire. So there's rumors that he's going to do it. But Joe Walsh, you know, life's been good to him so far.
I was going
to
say.
He's out there saying that he's going to run. Now, this is a different Joe Walsh. This is a guy.
This is a conservative radio host, right?
Yeah, he used to be a congressman from Illinois.
Yeah.
And he was a Trump supporter, Tea Party guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he drank probably out of the same mug as Joe Scarborough, and all of a sudden he changed. And this is a thing, you know, some of these people, Scaramucci and others, they're dying to get media exposure, and this is a way to do it. And Joe Walsh, to me, he has that odor about him where it's too big of a move. You know, he didn't marry Mika, so I don't think he has an excuse for it. But Trump will have opposition, but they'll be pipsqueak. The thing that is worrisome is if there's a billionaire, like you remember Ross Perot, Bill Clinton into office twice. So somebody like Michael Bloomberg, somebody that has money that could launch a third party bid.
Well, like Howard Schultz from Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
Howard Schultz would pull from both sides, but, you know, Michael Bloomberg, because he has a national identity as a Republican, depending on his message, he might pull from Republicans. So somebody like that, I don't see anybody, you know, at the moment. And then the other thing is if somebody like Joe Walsh launches and some big benefactor, George Soros or someone like that, gives him enough seed money, maybe he could get some momentum. But clearly somebody's going to run just to get the media exposure. They have no possible chance.
Hey, last question is, so AOC, all of 29 years old, I don't think she's even 30 years old yet, and she's just, you know, she's got a good Instagram following, and other than that, she is an empty suit and dumb as a bag of hair. I hear there's chinks in the armor now. I hear that not only the Republican Party is pointing out her foibles, but now the Democratic Party is sort of rolling their eyes at her. Is that accurate, or does she still have a pretty dangerous following?
Well, she has a dangerous following, but I do think there are people seeing her as vulnerable in her own district. You know, New York Post recently ran a piece saying that AOC is the only member of Congress that they could find that doesn't answer phone calls.
Wow.
You know, she, in terms of her local constituents that elected her, that she's supposed to be representing, she ignores them. She has nothing to do with them. She's strictly a national figure making these inane statements, which recently she said the Electoral College was racist.
Was racist.
That's the same, by the way, Electoral College that elected Barack Obama twice.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. The last two times. Exactly right. Just a scary thing. James, thank you so much. James Herson, jameshurston.com. Of course, he's got a couple of books out, Tales from the Left Coast and Hollywood Nation, that you probably should take a look at.
I should.
As well. And then, of course, all of his stuff at Newsmax and, of course, jameshurston.com. Mm-hmm. All right. There you go.
Wow, we're done?
We're done.
We
did it.
So fast.
Yeah. We got a good show tomorrow, by the way.
A brewer.
Well, we've got Jake Kalpakian. Remember the guy who created that neat poker table, the electronic poker table?
Yeah.
He's coming back in. I'm trying to get him to send us one. We can play a little craps here on the show.
Yeah, like the gold guy.
On the show.
Send us craps. Nuggets there, gold
there you
people.
Go. All right. Chris Janikis is our director. Jared Coleman is our assistant director. Curtis Matovitz is our floor cameraman, our floor director, our editor, our composer, our keeper of keys, and from whom all blessings flow.
Yes.
RussIsFunny.com because...
RussIsFatAndBald.com was taken.
I'm Sully. You can catch us at BigBizShow.com.
Relax, Kenny.
As well as at Sully Speaks. Oh, look, he's watching Rusty Nail's...
stand up.
He's reviewing me. Have you ever imagined him getting mad?
We'll see you tomorrow.